Good afternoon. The time is 1:33 p.m., and I'd like to call this meeting of the Senate Transportation Committee to order. We are in Butchovich, room 205, in the nation's most beautiful, snowy capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Thursday, February 26th. Members present are Senator Tobin, Senator Rauscher, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Welcome, everyone, to Senate Transportation, and please join me in extending a warm Senate Transportation welcome to our recording secretary, Heather Ramseth, and our LAO moderator, Renzo Moises. Please remember to turn off or silence your cell phones. Our agenda for today is Senate Bill 239, Motor Vehicle Registration, and House Bill 2626, Statewide Public and Community Transit Plan. First up, Senate Bill 239. This is our first hearing on the bill. To present the bill, we have the staff to Senator Kathy Tilton, Heath Hilliard. Mr. Hilliard, thank you for joining us today in Senate Transportation. If you could please put yourself on the record and begin your presentation of the bill, that would be most excellent, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Heath Hilliard, staff to Senator Tilton. I'm here to present SB 239 to you today, an act relating to registration and titling of legally imported vehicles and providing for an effective date. In short, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a very simple bill. It's a simple solution to a simple problem. It was a problem that had only been identified in the last several years. Currently, under the Department of Motor, Division of Motor Vehicles, there's a regulation in place regarding the titling of legally imported, titling and registration of legally imported vehicles. There's a federal motor vehicle safety standard exemption under federal law that says a vehicle that's 25 years of age or older is exempt from having to have the vehicle safety standard stamp. However, the way our regulation was written is it actually says 1981 as a fixed static date rather than a rolling date. And so as a result, we've noticed, and we are your office and I believe Senator Rauscher's office have also been contacted by area constituents who have run into the situation where inadvertently, I think, under the drafting of the original regulation, which has been in place for about 20 years, now says 1981 or older, thus preventing vehicles, for instance, of a model year of 2000 from being able to qualify for that exemption. And so this provides a statutory fix to a regulatory problem. You will note in your packet that I did include a response from the Division of Motor Vehicles that they are undertaking a regulatory amendment process to do that voluntarily. However, we had not received that response from them by the time we introduced the bill. So the bill is really here to ensure that this fix happens in 2026. And so with that, I really don't have anything else. It's pretty short and direct.
Very good. Mr. Hilliard, thank you very much for that explanation. Senator Tobin.
I do have a question, and I'm just curious because I was reading through Section 1, and it on line 7, it says vehicle safety standards, and my curiosity is around seat belts. So does this allow us to permit the importation of vehicles that don't have seat belts, and how does that interact with seat belt laws? I just don't know the answer.
Through the chair, Senator Tobin, quite honestly, I can't give you a specific answer simply because it's dependent upon whatever the federal vehicle safety standard exemption is. So that could apply to seat belts, I simply don't know.
And Mr. Chairman, I think it might just be something because I don't want folks to be driving vehicles that they think are appropriate to be on the road, but yet get caught for other non-compliance issues. And so I'd just be curious what about the intersection of that might be.
Thanks, Senator. I'll look into that.
Senator Rauscher.
Thank you, through the chair. So as far as I know, the car would have to be extremely old to not have a seatbelt. And they could actually drive those in parades without having to adapt. But as far as using them on the highway, I don't have your answer. But I know that in a parade, anything goes. And they do a drive to the parade. But I think it's a good question.
Thank you, Senator Rauscher. Are there anything further as far as questions or comments from committee members?
Yeah.
Senator Rauscher.
Thank you. You said the word import?
Correct. Through the chair. Correct, Senator Rauscher.
So could you define what we're talking about here? As far as, is it coming from the lower 48 or from Canada, or is it just taking a ride on the ferry? I guess I'm trying to understand. Just so we get an idea what we're doing here.
Through the chair, Senator Rauscher, my understanding is it has to be a legally imported vehicle from another country.
From another country. Okay.
Meaning it was manufactured, again, through the chair, Senator Rauscher, it was manufactured in another country.
I see. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Any closing comments?
Thank you for the opportunity to present the bill.
Excellent. Okay. Well, very good. I think the bill is pretty straightforward. It is encouraging that DMV is taking steps in regulation to address this issue. We are going to take a brief at ease while we set up for our next bill. We're back on the record. The time is now 1:41 p.m. here in Senate Transportation. Next up is House Bill 26. This is our first hearing on this bill. To present the bill, we have bill sponsor, the Honorable Representative Genevieve Mina, and her staff, Claire Warnke. Ladies, welcome to Senate Transportation. Please place yourselves on the record and begin your presentation of the bill.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman and members of the Senate Transportation Committee. For the record, my name is Genevieve Mina. I represent House District 19, which are the Anchorage neighborhoods of Airport Heights, Mountain View, and Russian Jack, and I am honored to present House Bill 26 to the committee today. I am also here with my staff, Clara Warnke. House Bill 26 was brought to me a few years ago by the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, as well as the Alaska Mobility Coalition, as one of their policy priorities. We introduced it in the previous legislature, and we have continued to work on this bill this year, these past 2 years. House Bill 26 seeks to modernize the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities duties to reflect the needs of Alaska by broadening the study of transportation options across the state and improving the department's public engagement process. The goals of this bill are for DOT and PF to have their powers be more intentionally multimodal, as well as strengthen its coordination with stakeholders. The bill primarily does three different things. First, it augments DOT and PF's duties and scope to explicitly include public transit. Second, HB 26 expands DOT and PF's responsibility to study alternative transportation options by including rural and remote areas. Currently in statute, DOT is only responsible for studying alternative means of transportation in urban areas, but not for rural and remote areas. And third, the bill seeks to codify the department's public engagement process in the statewide transportation plans. The department has been doing this work already, but as we have spoken and worked with our stakeholders, with the Alaska Mobility Coalition, the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, and with other groups, we want to make sure that we continue this work so that the transportation gaps that primarily impact people who don't have access to a car, including people with disabilities, making sure that they are a part of this important process and that this is an equitable process across the state. I'm happy to have my staff do a sectional analysis if needed.
That would be most excellent. Thank you.
For the record, Claire Wernicke, staff to Representative Mina. For the sectional, Section 1A amends subsections 3 and 4, which describe the department's duty to study alternative means of transportation in the state and develop a comprehensive long-range intermodal transportation plan by additionally directing them to include public, tribal, and community transit programs. Also, it amends subsection 5 to the department's duty to study alternative modes of transportation by adding rural and remote areas to its scope and also requiring coordination with metropolitan planning organizations, local governments, communities, tribal entities, and public and community transit operators, which also includes the ferry and the Alaska Railroad Corporation. And then it adds subsection 17, which creates a new duty for the department to develop a statewide public and community transit plan in coordination with those same stakeholders, the metropolitan planning organizations, local governments, communities, tribal entities, and public and community transit operators, which includes the ferry and the Alaska Railroad Corporation.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wernicke. Are there any questions from committee members? Senator Rauscher.
Thank you. Through the chair, so I'm just wondering, when you say tribal included in this bill, to what extent does the DOT have influence on tribal lands when, say, it's in the middle of, the middle of the Brooks Range, do they have any influence on those particular roads? I'm trying to understand where tribal fits in and where it doesn't. That's all.
Thank you for the question. Through the chair to Senator Rauscher, I think it exists in terms of government-to-government relationships and making sure that DOT engages with different tribal organizations. We know that in the development of the STIP that, one of the feedback some of the feedback that we got was that the department didn't engage with all the stakeholders, including with different tribal organizations. There are also different tribal organizations that partner with local governments to provide transit options. So that's part of it. It's not necessarily that the DOT has the jurisdiction over those governments, but that they work together to collaboratively produce transportation planning.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question is around the definition of tribal. You just mentioned government to government, but here I don't see any definition included. So are you thinking a tribal nonprofits, tribal governments, federally or state recognized tribes? There are many things that fit under the term tribal. And so just trying to understand which particular groups you might be interested in including in these conversations.
Through the chair to Senator Tobin, thank you for the question. You're right that tribal programs is broad in the statute, or it's broad in the bill. We haven't had the full discussion about tribal organizations and differentiating that between tribal governments, those nonprofits. We have had testimony, including from Mr. Jerry Hope, who represents a tribe over in the Sitka area, about those transit options. And so I would love to follow up in the committee to have more clarification on that.
Thank you. Follow up?
Indeed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my follow up question to that is, I see here that you include the ferry operations and metropolitan planning organizations. I'll use the example of Anchorage. We have several different tribal groups represented in our community, Eklutna, Kanik. What would be the intent or the thought about including all of those different groups or just one group? Or if they're in conflict, how would you prioritize participation if they might have different visions of their transportation plans?
Thank you for the question. Through the chair to Senator Tobin, I would say that that's up to the discretion of the department that's to the discretion of the department on how to handle all of those different stakeholders. We originally did not have the Marine Highway System as well as the Alaska Railroad Corporation in the original iteration of the bill. But what we heard from feedback from other colleagues on the House side was that it is important to include those voices as they do represent different aspects of our transportation system, especially given that the Marine Highway is a vital public transit modality in our coastal regions. And so in terms of trying to balance between all those different voices, we did not want to be that prescriptive in this bill, especially since this pertains to DOT's primary duties and responsibilities.
Thank you. And follow up.
Senator Tobin.
Just a comment. Mr. Chairman, my concern might be that you might have disagreement, and what we see is folks go to tribal partners who might not necessarily have a geographic footprint in that area and seek for feedback or solicitation from groups that might be peripherally or adjacently impacted but not necessarily reside in that particular area or corridor. So I would be interested in working with your office on maybe some language around geographic representation, ensuring that the tribal communities that live in those areas have a seat at the table.
Through the chair to Senator Tobin. That sounds great. We'll work with your office on that.
Senator Rauscher.
So, yeah, I appreciate the thank you through the chair. So when you said that they may not be able to the DOT may not in a tribal area that's very rural, may not have the ability to have jurisdiction there, but yet they could help you. Is that that's what we said earlier? Did I paraphrase that wrong?
Through the chair to Senator Rauscher, it would be that DOT works with those tribes when they develop their transit plan. And just to give an example, and I don't want to misparaphrase Mr. Jerry Hope, but in the Sitka area and in their tribe, they do provide and have been working on public transit options. And so as DOT, as the statewide entity to try to work with all of these different ways where public transit is provided to different communities, whether it's through your local governments, whether it's through a local nonprofit or even a tribal government, just making sure that the State Department is working with those tribal organizations as they develop their statewide transit plan and study alternative modes of transit.
And follow up real quick. So are we talking about all 120 tribal areas, community tribes?
Through the chair to Senator Rauscher, that would be within the scope of the bill.
Of the bill. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Let's move now to invited testimony. Maybe we can get some more of our questions answered through that modality. First up for invited testimony on House Bill 26, we have Mr. Patrick Reinhart. Mr. Reinhart, welcome to Senate Transportation. Please put your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony on the bill.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Patrick Reinhart. I'm the Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. And yes, this was a bill that we asked to be put in last year, and we appreciate Representative Mina taking the reins on that, and appreciate you hearing the bill today. Before I start, I want to throw in there, I think I may have a little bit more of a explanation about the tribal question that you guys just presented. There are several tribal run transit programs in the state right now, and they're federally funded and they get federal transit funding. But most of them are transportation programs that are open to everybody in those communities. Sitka Tribe runs the one in Sitka. Down here on the Kenai Peninsula where I live, the Kenaitse tribe just got a large grant to start a public transit system for the Central Peninsula area. So typically these tribal transit programs are not just for tribal members, they're for every member in the community. And there seems to be more and more of those growing every year just because the federal government seems to be putting more funding into tribal transit programs. So I wanted to throw that out there. Just the reason why we brought this bill to the legislature last year, we actually brought it a few years before, is that there really isn't a responsibility on the Department of Transportation Public Facilities to develop this statewide public community transit plan. So what you find is that in a year when there's a lot of competing interests, we're not getting the attention that we think that is needed for public and community transit. We're interested because people with disabilities are very dependent on public transportation plan, public transit in general. A lot of our folks, including seniors, don't drive, and so we need ways to get around the community. And it's year after year when we do our planning processes and we ask people what their needs are, community transit comes up at the very top of the list almost every year. I've been a disability advocate for 40 years, and it hasn't changed. It's still an incredible need. And so this bill, in our view, just puts it on a checklist of things to do that the department has to pay attention to. And organizations like ours and other, all these community transportation programs and tribal transit programs, Alaska Mobility Coalition, will get involved and help the department develop that plan, because that's what's needed. And, you know, help determine the connectivity between systems, as well as, you know, ways to improve systems for people with disabilities in each community. And where there is no public or community transit, you know, start developing plans for finding the funding to get those going in communities that have nothing. I live in Anchor Point and close to Homer, and there's really nothing down here except for the Nanilchik tribe runs a bus from Nanilchik down to Homer. Was 3 days a week, but recently they upped it to 1 day a week. So they pick people up along the road and take them to Homer and back, and they do the same going north to Soldotna. That's the extent of our public transit down here. Anyway, I'll stop there and answer any questions that you have.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, we will go now to – thank you for joining us today. Glad you're here, Mr. Reinhart. We will go now to Michelle Geralt. I'm sorry, Giroux. My bad. Didn't think about that. Ms. Giroux.
No worries. Thank you. Thank you, all of you, this afternoon, chairman and members of the committee. My name is Michelle Giroux. I'm the executive director of Hope Community Resources, which is an Anchorage-based nonprofit serving Alaskans with disabilities in 6 regions of the state. And I'm also the chairman of board chairman of the Key Coalition of Alaska, which also serves Alaskans across the state experiencing disabilities. We're very grateful to Representative Mina for partnering with all of us to bring this bill forward. Transportation is one of the top 5 barriers to Alaskans with disabilities and seniors to have access to either employment, to community engagement, to healthcare, to even food. You don't think about food insecurity and transportation always going together, but certainly in these heavy snow times, if you don't have accessible transportation, you can't get to food easily. So we are in full support as an organization and as a coalition of HB 26, so that the state can consider a holistic plan, leverage federal funds, think of creative ways to providing transportation so that Alaskans with disabilities across the state can have easier access to getting to work, to getting to the hospital, to getting to a medical appointment, to getting food, and just community engagement in general, which when you think about the transformation of healthcare, for me, this is one of the top issues, because when you can get access to all of the things I've mentioned, your health increases. So just urge you all to fully support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Giroux. Any questions from committee members? Our final invited testimony is in the room today, Ms. Millie Ryan. Please come forward, state your name and affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Borkman and members of the committee. My name is Millie Bryan. I live here in Juneau. Among other things, I'm the president of the Alaska Mobility Coalition. The Alaska Mobility Coalition, it's a nonprofit organization. It's comprised of seniors, people with disabilities, community transportation providers, and just people in general who are interested in transportation of people. Our mission is to empower Alaskans to develop transportation systems that improve their quality of life, whether it be going to work, whether it be going to church or to shop, to go to the doctor, volunteer, and participate in the community. These are all things I think we take for granted if we're still driving. But if you're not driving, it can be very difficult to get to where you need to be. On behalf of the Alaska Mobility Coalition, I'd like to thank Representative Mina for sponsoring the bill. We wholeheartedly support it. It's something we've advocated for several years. We believe that including transit and community transportation in statute will help promote cost-effective, sustainable, and coordinated rides that will really make a difference and meet local needs and the needs of individuals, Alaskans. On a personal note, I'm a list maker. A, those are the things you must do. B, pay some attention to. C, maybe it would be nice if I could get it done, but they seldom get done. And so what we're asking is that by including community transportation and transit in statute, we'll be on the A list. We're not asking to be on the A1, but we're asking to be on that A list. We are particularly supportive of developing a comprehensive long-range intermodal plan because we think that's going to make a significant impact on how we can best work together, avoid duplication, and really work together to ensure that all Alaskans are able to get to where they want to go. And in conclusion, thanks for your time. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much, Ms. Ryan. Any questions from committee members?
Thank you.
Seeing, hearing none, that brings House Bill 26 back before the committee. Are there any questions from committee members for the bill sponsor? Also online, available for questions, is Sarah Lucy, the statewide planning chief for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Ms. Lucy, Senator Tobin has a question for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Lucy, I'm curious to know, from your estimation and your thoughts about this legislation, how will the process go to integrate this work into your existing planning processes, or do you anticipate it will be a separate process?
Through the chair, Senator Tobin, thanks for the question. We did a little bit of background work on it, and we agree with the effort to include transit more as a focus point when it comes to planning. We do have a bunch of regulations that exist right now for the department to consider all modes as part of the transportation, like especially the statewide transportation plan development, and specifically the part of the bill that recommended a statewide transit plan. The department sort of already took that in stride, and we're preparing to begin the effort. We're just waiting for our vacant planning chief position to be filled, and then we'll kick that off. So on the whole, I feel like we have considerations for multimodal, but I understand the importance and the directive from, you know, our community that they would like to see transit more as an upfront consideration.
Thank you.
Appreciate that answer, Ms. Lucy. I think a few of us may be wondering about the fiscal note and fiscal implications of this policy direction. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Senator Bjorkman, I think that when the analysis was done, the fiscal note came to zero because the department doesn't anticipate that it will add costs. We didn't think that staffing needed to be changed. There is a price to create a statewide transit plan, but we have planning funds dedicated to planning development already, so we'll be using those to create the statewide transit plan. And otherwise, it is an objective and a consideration as part of the development of plans that we already are doing. So, we didn't think it had a direct fiscal impact.
Understood. Thank you. Currently through this plan, does DOT, do you all, or you specifically, are you managing grant funds that go to some of these kind of transportation networks already?
Yes, Senator Bjorkman, we are the pass-through entity for our subrecipients and their transit operators within the state. So DOT is not necessarily the operating entity, but those funds get granted out to operators within the state. I heard that tribes were mentioned quite a bit as part of this discussion, and there's also tribal transportation funding through FTA, so they get FTA funds specifically for tribes. But we do also grant out those funds for operations across the state.
Very good. And I'm curious, how would this legislation impact those grant programs, the number of grant recipients, and then the overall dollars and how they're dispersed?
Yes, thanks. We did not anticipate that this bill actually had a direct impact on funds and how funds were granted out. It was more the development of plans and consideration of needs is how we interpreted this.
Understood. So if I can just kind of reflect what I think I've heard then is you believe that through this legislation, there will be a plan to identify a potential for more transportation services to be provided in communities. And then if those transportation services are indeed provided in those communities, at that time, it will generate more costs for the department. Am I tracking that correctly?
I believe so. Yeah, through the statewide transit plan, we're going to be looking at gap analysis and challenges across the system. And so, through reflection, I think that it'll come down to prioritizing needs and projects across the state. And through that, if we were able to fund those projects to increase the service or operations, that would come with a cost. But I think the House bill presented today impacts more of the plan development and the cost of the planning outcomes later on down the road may or may not increase. I think it would maybe increase the need for funding. I think all of our plans do that in a way. We always identify a list of projects needed, but then, whether to pursue those exact needs or how to pursue them based on funding availability at the time would be the question.
Understood. Okay. Thank you. That I think I have a clearer understanding. Very good. Representative Mina, do you have any closing comments?
For the record, Genevieve Mina, I represent Hess District 19 in the legislature. Thank you for hearing this bill, and I look forward to providing a little bit more clarity in some of the aspects of the legislation as it pertains to tribal groups.
Thank you for being here today. At this time, we will set House Bill 26 aside for further consideration at a future meeting. The Senate Transportation Committee will meet again next week on Tuesday to hear a presentation from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities on the use of advanced construction funds and federal funds for state projects. So we will discuss how and why and to what extent advanced construction or essentially projects are used based on permission to spend money that the state will get in the future. And then we'll also have a discussion about the process and ways in which projects are funded, whether they are federally funded or whether they're built with only state dollars. So that's next week on Tuesday. Seeing no further no further business to come before the Senate Transportation Committee today, we are adjourned at 2:08 p.m.